Thank you so much for joining us, John.
Oh, look, thanks very much for having me on the program. Great to be with you.
My pleasure. Now, why is it important that Australia maintains diplomatic relations with international allies?
Australia is more internationally connected today than ever before. The world is, in one sense, a smaller planet than ever. That means that we can reach across countries. We're reliant on them more than ever before. Once upon a time, you needed to get on a ship to sail and steam somewhere else. Nowadays, you can be in another country within minutes, you know, hours, literally. But essentially, we're now more interconnected than ever before. You know, we have, and that affects us in terms of trade, that in terms of security, in terms of migration, culture, a whole range of levels. We're more interconnected than ever before, and so we have internationally, as a result, significant diplomatic footprints in all of our neighbourhood countries, and they're dealing with a whole range of issues, from immigration, from security, from transport coordination and trade arrangements and standard diplomacy, and of course dealing with Australian consular issues, with Australians who might be caught up in a legal tussle, who might have fallen foul of the law in a country in the region, and so on. So the connections internationally are more important to us than they've been arguably ever before.
Of course. Now, regarding this yearly exercise, Wallaby, are there any ways in which both the ADF and SAF benefit or learn from each other?
Yeah, no, look, this is quite a significant activity. What we've found is Australia used to not think so highly of the Singaporean forces because they were not quite as experienced and not quite as developed. But the Singaporean armed forces have become a pretty sophisticated force in the last few years. Australia gets considerable benefit from kind of putting itself up against them and seeing how we fare, and also just swapping notes and comparing. Similarly, and conversely, the Singaporean armed forces gets a lot of benefit from comparing and contrasting how they perform with the Australian Defence Force, because Australia's got a wealth of experience, operational experience, operating high capabilities that are actually, in some respects, quite similar to those operated by the Singaporeans. And so there's both sides see there's mutual benefit in kind of having a go at seeing how you compare and how you contrast with each other, and then learning from that experience. And that's become more and more sophisticated as time's progressed. So it's been a trial and error sort of thing, but it's been happening over a number of decades now. We've got to a level of sophistication and complexity in those activities that we get to see literally thousands of Singaporean troops come to Australia and hundreds, if not thousands, of Australians participate alongside as well.
Right, of course. And does ex-Wallaby help boost Queensland's regional economy?
Yes, it does. Singapore has invested hundreds of millions of dollars, particularly in the Rockhampton area, in infrastructure and in requirements for supplies of, basically what they call, food, water supplies, fuel supplies, other logistics support elements that are required to be provided from the civil community, and in terms of infrastructure development, so building facilities to support the Singaporean deployments. And that's I think if you ask around Rockhampton and various places nearby, you get a pretty positive response about the utility of that relationship with Singapore. You get some people, like when there was talk a little while ago of expanding the training area, some of those directly affected by the purchases of the buyback of the land were a little bit, their noses a little bit out of joint. But essentially, bottom line is that they were pretty generously compensated for those buybacks. And yes, some people had to make some adjustments, but by and large, overall, the net effect is a very positive one for the community.
Of course. And in what ways does our taxpayer money contribute to doing something good for Australia on the world stage?
Well, that's a pretty broad question, and I guess answer it a number of different ways. But in terms of just our relationship with Singapore...
Yes, of course.
We're invested pretty heavily now. Singapore is actually... It's got to the point where Singapore is about as close and as trusted a partner with Australia as New Zealand is. And of course, we talk about Anzac Day and we talk about the ties with New Zealand, And they're pretty hard to match, to be honest, Australia-New Zealand ties. There's a closeness there that, is as close as they get, really. But Singapore is approaching that in terms of the level of trust and the level of interaction and engagement between the two countries on a range of fronts, on military security, on information exchange, on recognition of each other's qualifications, legal arrangements. And it helps that Singapore was once a British colony, so their legal framework and the language they operate as a foundation for their engagement is English, and it's English common law. So that makes for a fairly simple and straightforward engagement between Australia and Singapore. And it's different with other countries like Indonesia, which has got, operates in a different language, and operates essentially with a different legal framework that is more alien for Australians to operate under.
Right, of course. Well, thank you so much for joining us, John. It's been great having you on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.